The Lying Game. Written by Ruth Ware and read by Imogen Church. The reach is wide and quiet this morning. The pale blue sky streaked with pink mackerel belly clouds, the shallow sea barely rippling in the slight breeze. And so the sound of the dog barking breaks into the calm like gunshots, setting flocks of gulls crying and wheeling in the air. Plovers and terns explode up as the dog bounds joyously down the riverbank, scampering down the runnelled side where the earth turns from spiky grassy dunes to reed-specked mud, where the water wavers between salt and fresh. In the distance, the tide mill stands sentinel, black and battered against the cool calm of the morning sky, the only man-made structure in a landscape slowly crumbling back into the sea. "Bob!" The woman's voice rings out above the volley of barks as she pants to catch up. "Bob, you rascal! Drop it! Drop it, I say! What have you found?" As she draws closer, the dog tugs again at the object protruding from the mud, trying to pull it free. "Bob, you filthy brute, you're covered! Let it go!" "Oh, God, it's not another dead sheep, is it?" It's the last heroic yank that sends the dog staggering back along the shore, something in its jaw. Triumphant, he scrambles up the bank to lay the object at the feet of his owner. And as she stands, looking dumbstruck, the dog panting at her feet, the silence returns to the bay, like a tide coming in. Rule 1. Tell a lie. The sound is just an ordinary text alert, a quiet beep-beep in the night that does not wake Owen, and would not have woken me, except that I was already awake, lying there, staring into the darkness, the baby at my breast, snuffling, not quite feeding, not quite unlatching. I lie there for a moment, thinking about the text, wondering who it could be. Who'd be texting at this hour? None of my friends would be awake. Unless it's Millie gone into labour already. God, it can't be Millie, can it? I'd promised to take Noah if Millie's parents couldn't get up from Devon in time to look after him, but I never really thought. I can't quite reach a phone from where I'm lying, and at last I unlatch Freya with a finger in the corner of her mouth and rock her gently onto her back, milk-sated, her eyes rolling back in her head like someone stoned. I watch her for a moment, my palm resting lightly on her firm little body, feeling the thrum of her heart in the birdcage of her chest as she settles. And then I turn to check my phone, my own heart quickening slightly, like a faint echo of my daughter's. As I tap in my PIN, squinting slightly at the brightness of the screen, I tell myself to stop being silly. It's 4 weeks until Millie's due, it's probably just a spam text. "Have you considered claiming a refund for your payment protection insurance?" But when I get the phone unlocked, it's not Millie, and the text is only 3 words. "I need you." It is 3:30 a.m. and I am very, very awake, pacing the cold kitchen floor, biting at my fingernails to try and quell the longing for a cigarette. I haven't touched one for nearly 10 years, but the need for one ambushes me at odd moments of stress and fear. "I need you." I don't need to ask what it means, because I know, just as I know who sent it, even though it's from a number I don't recognise. Kate. Kate Attigan. Just the sound of her name brings her back to me, like a vivid rush. The smell of her soap, the freckles across the bridge of her nose, cinnamon against olive. Kate
Sample complete. Ready to continue?